Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, we're going to jump into the next of our series. There's three sermons in this series. There probably should have been about 10, but anyways, we're only going to have three because we're jumping into the next one. But this is all, we called it thank you, but it's actually all about worship. So three messages on worship. How many know you were made for worship? You really are. You're a worshiper. As we said last week, you are a prodigy. Literally, you are set up and you are created as an incredible worshiper. So a little quick recap. God created some things. I didn't put my recap in, so look at it up here. There it is. Go ahead. Worship is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Worship isn't a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Now, if that screen is a bit blurry for you, that's probably because it is. All right? Because we blew a bulb just before service. Had to change that one out. But worship is not a Christian thing. It's a human thing. Every single human being is created for worship. You were designed for it. You're world class at it. The question today is, what do you worship? It's not, are you a worshiper or can you? You're world class at it. But what are you doing? Follow your time and your treasure, and you're going to find out what it is you really worship. You know, the devil, he wants you to worship him. He wanted Jesus to worship him. You know, he said, bow down, worship me, and I'll give you all those things. Now, if he couldn't have given him all those things, it wasn't a legitimate temptation. But literally, the devil tried to drag Jesus out of his destiny and distract him and cause him to turn aside to something else. And the devil doesn't even so much that you got to worship him, but he would like you to get your eyes off of God and turn you to anything else except God. And he wants you to spend your time pursuing that. Give me another slide there. Matthew 4:10, then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan!" That's good, eh? "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So the devil wanted that relationship. He wanted to be worshipped. You will become the servant of whatever you worship. That doesn't mean God's looking for servants. He isn't, or he would have created servants. He's looking for family. He's looking for lovers. But you know, you will serve what you worship. Give me another slide. Worship, prokoneo, compound word towards and to kiss. And it's not a kiss of affection like between a man or a woman or affection with family. It's literally, worship is a word, an English word that was made up to represent this word. And it's really a dog licking his master's hand. Interesting. And as I said last week, you know, dogs are amazing. Their affection, their attention. Even last night, again, I went downstairs to watch a football game because Cheryl didn't want to watch it. And so I honored her by going down in the basement watching a game. But I find it so amazing that even if I'm just gone for a couple hours, if I come back up the stairs and all of a sudden the dog hears me again, he comes running over like I was gone for a while and he greets me like I wasn't in the house and I was just downstairs but he didn't know me. He jumps around. And you know, so it's there's so much fun. And I don't know why, but this is the word that the Holy Spirit caused Paul to pen and the writers to pen as worshiping God, to be devoted to, full admiration for, to have and to express. Say express. To express. Say express. You know, it's not love if you just got it. You got to express it. Worship isn't a noun. It's a verb. It's something you got to do. It's something you got to express. Profound adoration. Worship is a response to what you value most. Your response to what you value most. And you know what? You should value him the absolute most. And your response to him should be full, reckless abandon. We're going to talk about that again a bit more next week. Give me another slide. All right, that was the tailgate party. I remember tailgate party. I was expecting to see a few more cars tailgating today, but not yet, but it'll come. How many ever heard of Brownsville down in Florida? Brownsville, the big revival they had down there. You know, people would show up at 6, 7 in the morning. People would camp overnight. They would go real early and they'd be in line waiting for the church doors to open. How many look forward to those days? Huh? Huh? When's the last time you tailgated for Jesus? All right, settle down. Wow, that's awesome. Give me another slide. All right, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, you're never going to have true worship or proper worship unless it's in the view of God's mercy. To really worship, it's got to be through the lens of His mercy. And if you've not been impacted by His mercy, it's hard for you to have that kind of worship. How many have been impacted by the mercy of God? Three people. That's awesome. But, you know, when you're really impacted by His mercy, how many need some mercy? How many wake up every day, you know, I could use a little mercy today? You know, God is full of mercy, and He delights. It's not like, oh, I got to show Him mercy again. God delights in showing mercy. You know, it says, in full view of His mercy, offer your bodies. God doesn't really want burning sacrifices of meat and bulls and cows and goats. He says, those really were all mine anyways. I want you. I want you. I want you every day. I want you living for me and expressing yourself in true worship every day. True worship can only be expressed through the lens of God's mercy. Another slide, Luke 7, 36-50. We read about the woman, probably in many theologians. Theologians, church historians believe it was Mary Magdalene, but Mary Magdalene, when she broke into the Pharisees' bank, when she broke in and she broke 2 years' worth of wages, an alabaster box, a perfume on Jesus' feet. She kissed Him. She honored Him with, well, the water of her own tears, the honor of a kiss, and then a sacrifice of fragrant oil. God is looking for lovers. All right, He really is. He's looking for lovers. He's looking for lovers. He really is. He's looking for lovers. Give me another slide. Bam! There we are. That was a good recap. Say thank you, Pastor. All right, here you go. You ready? God created some things and some things He made. God created some things and some things He made. Do you get that? Created, made. God created some things and some things He made. How many having a hard time understanding that one? All right. Glad you're here. Going to help you. Ready? Create. To form out of nothing. Now, if I went to your house or if I went to Keith's and Keith said, I created this vase, and because Keith's a potter, he says, look at this vase I created. I say, you didn't create it, Keith. You made it from something. God already made the clay and all that stuff. So you took some of God's stuff and you shaped it and you formed it. So you made it. You didn't create it. I'm just picking on Keith, but Keith knows what I mean. You know what I mean? See, you could go to my house and say, I made these shelves in my garage because I didn't make them. I didn't create the wood or all those things. I took something created, and from something created, I made some stuff. So God created some things, and He made some things. Say, created? Made. All right. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It means ex nihilo. It means out of nothing. Nothing existed. There was nothing there. There was total void. There was ex nihilo, nada. Total vacuum. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He created that. He created. There's some things God created to make. Genesis 1:11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So did God say, let there be grass? Or did He speak to something and say, come out of? So God spoke to something. He spoke. To make means you form it out of something or something already there. And you called something out of something. Do you get that? To create means out of nothing. I said, let there be. To make means I called it to come forth from something that already existed. Now, God created everything, but out of some things, He caused things to come forth. Some things were created with a word. Other things, He spoke to creation, and He commanded it to manifest something. Are you okay? Ha ha! Okay, Genesis 1:11, then God said, let the earth. He spoke to the earth, and the earth responded, let the earth bring forth fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. On the earth. Say, on the earth. All right, listen to this now. It might be fragmented. I'm not sure, but stay with me. When God wanted to make something, He spoke to where or what He wanted it to come from and to be sustained by and to return to. Let me say that again. I want you to get this. When God wanted to make something, He spoke to where or what He wanted it to come from and be sustained by and return to. He spoke to what He wanted it to come from, be sustained by, or return to. All right? So those three things, come from, sustained by, return to. He spoke to the earth, do this, and the earth did what He told it to do. Amen. All right, so that's good stuff. A little theology 101 right from Bible school. All right, Genesis 1:11. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb, yield seeds, and fruit tree yield trees according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. Trees come forth from the dirt. They are sustained by the dirt, and they return to dirt. Right? You're following me? I need you to follow this. It's important stuff because you're going to get something. All right? Say, this is going somewhere. All right. Genesis 1:20. Then God said, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures. Let fish come from the water, sustained by the water, return to the water. All right? Genesis 1:24. God said, let the earth, say earth, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kinds. Just took an example. Now let the cow come from the earth, sustained by the earth, return to the earth. Just a little deep revelation for you right now. Ice cream is just reassembled salad. See, because I am to be sustained by the earth, therefore the cow, which was come from the earth, is also sustained by that earth and lives in the earth, returns to the earth. But that cow takes things of the earth. He eats that stuff. He processes that. He makes milk. We churn that milk. We mix it up. We make ice cream. Therefore, ice cream is really solid. Eat more ice cream. I don't know if it's a good health tip, but it's good theology. All right? So, I don't even know if it's good theology, but anyways, you know, works for me. Okay, so. All right, okay, stay with me. Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7. What comes after 1? Thank you, 2. Oh, went to chapter 2. 2. Jumped over to chapter 2 for this reason. And God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, I was not formed out of the ground. My body was formed out of the ground. But my body, because it was from the ground, it was made from the earth, sustained by the earth, and it returns to the earth. That's my body. So everybody who has an earth suit, to qualify to be on earth, you have to have an earth suit. But you say, I'm not an earth suit, but I have an earth suit. But my earth suit was made from the ground, it's sustained by the ground, and it's going to return to the ground. And that's the way it is. All right, do you have that? All right, let's go back, though, to chapter 1. All right, here it is. First thing I want you to get is we came from God. I didn't come from the earth. My body did. I came from God. I came from God. Then God said, let us. So who is God speaking to? He's speaking to us. He's speaking to himself. So where is he going to cause man to be called from? He's speaking to something. So out of that, he wants to create something. Sorry, I said create. He wants to make something out of something. So what is the something that he wants to make the something out of? He said, let us make man in our image. So God is speaking to himself, and from himself, he's saying, I want to create something just like us. Therefore, from us, I want to call forth out of us. I want to call forth from us. I want to call forth from our substance and who we are. I want it to come out of us. Something that is in our image and in our likeness. Man is a spirit. He came from God. He is sustained by God. He will return to God. I felt that. Isn't that great? I think I might have this earth suit, and some of you don't have as awesome earth suit as I do. It's all right. Yeah. But you know what? I'm a spirit. I am from God. I'm not from the earth. I'm not some lump of prehistoric or primordial slime that crawled out of some abyss. I came from God himself. I am of the same substance of God. I am in the likeness of God, and I am in the image of God. I came from him. I am sustained by him, and I will return to him. All right. That's good stuff right there. That's just theology one. That's what it is. God, creation in the Bible. If anything that was made from something tries to remove itself from what it came from, it will die. If anything that was made from something tries to remove itself from what it comes from, it will die. How many have planted stuff and did stuff? I've always been, you know, so traumatized. I think it was like grade 4, grade 5, and we had used to get a little bean and put it in the soil. Remember doing that in school? And mine wasn't sprouting up. I didn't know what was going on. Some started to have a sprout, and so I decided I want to figure out what was going on. So I dug in, I pulled out the bean. Oh, my goodness, look, it was starting to sprout, and I was packing it back down, pushing it into you. What did you do? You can't do that. You've disturbed it now. You've caused a difficulty now with this growth. I'm putting it back in. I'm packing it down. It's good. But I had no faith to believe that that seed was going to sprout forth. But you know, if you take a plant out of the dirt, it cannot be sustained because it was, well, not only came from the dirt, it was to be sustained by the dirt, and then it was to return to the dirt. But the minute you take it out of what it came from, it dies. You take a fish out of the water, and you want to keep it out of the water, you better eat it, because if you don't eat it, it'll stink, because it can't be sustained. You gotta keep it in that realm. Man, my body's got to stay here on earth. It's here sustained by earth. You take me into outer space, I need a different suit. I need a space suit because this body doesn't work in outer space or even underwater. But in this realm, it works. But listen, he said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, that day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Because what happened that day is you were making a declaration that I choose to live independent of God. I choose that I'm going to run my own life, because he got lied to. And he said, God's really holding out on you. You see, here's his lie, was telling you the truth with a twist. If you eat it, you'll be like him. You were already like him. He used the truth against you. He used doubt. He used fear. And he misrepresented God, that God's holding out on you. There's something better. And there's something more. Just pull yourself out of his presence. Take your life in your own hands. You can do better. And God doesn't want you to know that. But you see, that's what happened, was they decided, I'm going to live independent of God. But you see, man didn't die, but his spirit was severed from God. He became spiritually dead, and therefore he still lived, and he still lived. But that death began to creep into his very nature, and even his meat sack began to die. But he began to eat and live out of the meat sack rather than living out of a relationship. Whatever you were from it so that you could have a relationship with it. Whatever you were created or made from, you were made from it because God wanted you to have a relationship with it. So God, you are from God because God wanted you to be sustained by and in and constant in relationship with him. Amen. Thank you, Lacey. Lacey's saying, I get this. I get this. So the purpose of worship, the purpose of all this is relationship. Relationship. So that's what it's all about, Pastor. All right. Man continued to live in the flesh, but he died to his created purpose of relationship with God and reigning and ruling with God. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that God decided, I'm going to take my son and I'm going to put him in a dirt sack. I myself, God, am going to take on flesh. I'm going to dwell among them. I'm going to invade their circumstances and situation. I'm going to deal with what broke the relationship. And I'm going to restore them to myself on my terms. And they'll never be taken out of my hands again. Thank God for that. See, because it says Ephesians 2:1, and he made us alive who were dead in sin and trespasses. You're alive, but when you come to Jesus, when you come into that relationship to worship him, and he's looking for lovers, he makes you alive. You're spiritually alive. You're restored now because you were from him. You were made by him, and you were made to be sustained by him and in relationship with him, and you cannot live without him. John 10:10, I have come that you might have life, not bios life, but Zoe life, the God kind of life. You lost the God kind of life, but Jesus came so that you can be restored to the very life of God. Can I get amen? Ephesians 2:4-7. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us with which he loved us, so he had incredible love for us, but he also loved us with the love. Isn't that good? I really love you. I've never expressed it, but I really do. No, he has great love for us, great mercy, but he expressed it to us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive again. He made us alive together with him in Christ. By grace you have been saved. Why did he do this? To show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So number one is we came from God. Amen. I'm not some dirt or primordial slime. I am divine. I am a partaker of his divine nature. It's wonderful stuff. Amen. Number two, we are like God. We are like God. God wants to express love and to experience love. He created you to desire to experience love and desire to express love. That's, you are all wired like that. And God knows you're wired like that. Do you know how God knows you're wired like that? Because you came from Him. And because you came from Him, the same passions and desires that He has are the same passions and desires that are in your DNA. In your DNA, there is a desire to be loved and to express love. It's there. God has unbelievable capacity to love, and He wanted to show it off. Therefore, He created mankind. He created from Himself something just like Himself, something absolutely free. Not something that would serve Him, but something that He could woo, something that He could serve, something that He could minister to, something that He could pour Himself into so that He could experience that free love that was an all-out risk. God wanted to love. God created us for relationship with Him, someone who has to woo, someone who has a free will, a love that demands risk. He is looking for lovers. Now, Adam was looking for a relationship. You see, in chapter 2 of Genesis, you see that God said, come on over here, Adam, I want you to name all the animals. Now, chapter 1, say 1. Say 2. What comes after 1? 2. Very good. All right. So God created man, male and female, from Him in His image in 1. And in 2, He wants to do something really radical, all right? But here we see that Adam, do this little exercise. Adam, help me out here. You know what? All these animals have come out of the soil. They've come. They've been made out of here. Boom, they're popping up. All of these wonderful things. He said, Adam, I want you to name them. So Adam goes through this process of naming all the animals. And Adam began to see that, wow, it says there was not found. Say, was not found. Now, if I said I'm looking for a cashmere shirt that's, well, shirt, what about cashmere shirt? A cashmere sweater that's only $10. Pure cashmere. Really awesome. $10 cashmere sweater. I'd be on a search, wouldn't I? And on that search, I would be on a search. But when I found it, I found it! I found it. Now, what does that mean? That means that Adam was on a search. What was he searching for? Something to express incredible love to, something just like him, something that he could have that relationship with. But it says there was not found a helper. Now say the word helper. That's the same word that's used in Psalms. It says the Lord is my helper. All right. So when you say helper, it does not mean subordinate. It does not mean I need somebody to help me out around the house. I need somebody to do some cooking. I need somebody. No, it wasn't looking for a helper, because how many know God is your helper, but he's not your subordinate? So it was a suitable, co-equal, co-essential, co-laborer in the purposes of God. So how did God know what man needed? How did he know? Because he created man in his image. He had a passion for a loving relationship. He wants to express love to be loved. Adam wants to express love and be loved. This is all on a wonderful journey. Are you tracking with me at all? Okay, it's all about worship, because worship's all about a genuine, tangible, every single day relationship with God. All right. Just an interesting thing. The word formed man, the word Hebrew word for formed man is squeezed. It's true. It's kind of like God saying, I'm going to form a man. Good. But the word for woman, I don't think I put it on the screen. The word, you know what the word for woman is? Fashioned. So man was, woman was. I don't even know where that came from, but anyways. I do know that when Adam woke up from that deep sleep, he got away. Whoa, man. That's how she got her name. Whoa, man. Whoa. She got a few different features there. It's pretty awesome. All right. So I like this new model, but isn't it amazing that he was, and she was, anyways, you got what I mean. Okay, all right. So, but for Adam, there was not found a helper. He wanted to express himself. All right, let's go. Where am I at now? There I am. Ephesians chapter 5, 25, 27, 32. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might present her to himself as a glorious church. Now, this is a great mystery. But what I'm really talking about is Christ and the church. Now, he shares a little analogy about marriage. See, God presented a little picture of Adam and Eve about this union. And literally, it says when you come from something, you are to be sustained with that thing, and you return to that thing. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Came out of, to be in relationship with, to be sustained by, to return to. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there. But listen now, Paul's talking about a mystery. Ephesians is such a great book because Ephesians goes back even before Genesis. In Genesis, you just get the photograph of what's going on. But in Ephesians, you get the x-ray, you get the CAT scan. What was in the eternal heart of God? See, right when he created man, when he did all of this was all about love. It was all about relationship. Because what's he doing? This man, this woman thing, creating that and that whole image. And then the whole thing is going to be family, and then it grows up. But my eternal purpose was called out once. Not male nor female, slave or free. I mean, not Jew nor Gentile. My purpose is to have a called out church, a group of people. And see, the eternal purpose of God, even measured right there, is there's going to be a people created out of myself. But the whole thing wasn't Adam and Eve. That wasn't the eternal purpose of God. Man and a woman being married, that is a part of it. But that's the analogy. That's not the story. That's the illustrative part. That's not really what God wants to do. I'm talking about that, and it may be a great mystery, but what I'm really talking about is Christ and his church. We, the church of God, were created to worship him and be in a relationship with him. We came from him, we are sustained by him, and we are going to be returned to him. It's going to be a really amazing party. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And we're all going to be there, and there's going to be these awesome little Swedish meatballs that I just love. We were created to enjoy him and party with him and revel with him forever. We get lost in some of the minutiae of the whole thing, but God is working out a plan from Genesis to Revelation of calling out a bride for his son. And it's one big, massive wedding party. So good. So good. Give me another slide. Give me another slide. Number three, we're made to love God. John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because we're trying really hard to be accepted. We love him because I know if I just love him hard enough, he'll like me back. No, we love him because he first loved us. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't even know I had this capacity. I didn't even know that I was from him and that he wanted me to be wooed back into this amazing relationship. I had no idea. But now I love him because he first loved us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not experience that separation, should not experience that death that happened in Adam and Eve, but should experience a refreshing and a recreation and brought into new life with God himself. So that's so fantastic. Settle down. So good. So good. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive. Just say receive. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. He reaches out to you, you accept, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. This is a constant, touchy-feely relationship. Oh, so precious, so lovely. Shared some perspiration with my daughter. You know, he reaches down and he touches you. You welcome that. You embrace that touch. And then he touches you again. Touching me, touching you, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline. Wah, wah, wah. That's just a wrong song, I'm telling you. But it resonates. It gets bigger and bigger. I mean, the more you engage this relationship, the more you exchange this relationship, it gets bigger and bigger. It gets better and better. It expands more and more. There's more wonderful discoveries about his greatness and who he is. And the more he captures of you, the more you capture of him. And it's just giving and receiving and giving and receiving. It goes on and on and on. And that's really what worship is. It's this ridiculous, wonderful relationship with a living God, where he comes into your life, and through these experiences of worship, of constantly giving and receiving, you're exploding and manifesting how incredible his love is for mankind. It's true. It really is true. How many ever played tag? You played tag? You know what that is? I always hated playing tag in a pool, because when you touch somebody in the pool, it was like hard to swim away really fast. Like, if you touch somebody, you could jump away maybe, but in the pool, it's like, you try to swim as fast as you can so they don't touch you back. And then that just gets annoying, because it's touch, 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 touch. You're it. So eventually you get that no touchbacks, right? A lot of people have that kind of relationship with God, no touchbacks. Touch. But you see, with God, there is touchbacks. And it just increases and gets larger. And you know, the more you touch him, the more he touches you. Well, I didn't get much out of the worship service this morning. Did you touch it? Did you touch it? I mean, did you come to be entertained or grade something or live out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? That wasn't so good. The guitar was too quiet today. You come with the knowledge of tree of good and evil with your scales and all that stuff. You're never going to touch it. You're missing the whole thing. We came to corporately together. Touch him. Touching us. Touching him. Touching us. Touching him. God's a giver. He wants to give. He's a massive giver. And you know, he started the whole thing with saying, I love you. Here you go. And then when you engage that, I mean, that just opens the door to this reckless expression of his kindness and goodness to you. Amen. Okay, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't get that. But Mark chapter 5, 28, 30. For she said, if only I can touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If I can just touch him, I can be made well. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone from him. See, when you touch him, worship is more than just a couple of songs and a couple of this and a jumping around. Worship really is a reckless, powerful dynamic that when you touch him, power is released. When you engage him, and worship's not just about the song service, but I tell you, when you come to a worship service and corporately worship, there's actually nothing like that. And God says he likes these kind of things better than the other. It says, I love the gathering of my people more than I like the tents. Says, I like it when they come together corporately more than I like it when just those individual times in the tents. Those are awesome. Those are great. But when the family all gets together, woo-hoo. And when the family corporately worships him, woo-hoo. Well, I touch God once at this other meeting, and I want to go where they always touch God. Well, if you take yourself, the non-toucher, to a place where there's touchers, you'll still be a non-toucher. If you can't touch God here, really, you can't touch God anywhere. And if you do touch God there, it's because you had to change your stinky attitude, because you thought God lived somewhere else, or he hung out someplace. Or I didn't get nothing out of service today. Did you touch it? Did you engage it? Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3. Then I, John, saw. So isn't this amazing? I actually preached a sermon from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And there was an awful lot in between that I pulled out. So I was like, oh my goodness, if I have to share the whole thing. But all the way through, this whole thing was a journey of God wanting to be back habitating with his people. All over the place you see, and I will be your God and you will be my people. And I will be your God and you will be my people. All through this whole thing is this incredible loving romance of God on hot pursuit of lovers. He's really looking for lovers. That's what he's looking for. But here in the end, what we see is, then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. What is the New Jerusalem? What is the New Jerusalem? I saw the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, the New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. The New Jerusalem is all believers brought together, the bride of Christ. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. Amen. Please. I'm trying to finish. Give me another slide. You ready? Listen now. Believers, the church, the bride of Christ is presented to Jesus at the end of the book. Now, you don't have to wait till the end of the book to experience that. You can experience that right now. This is the beautiful joy of that. You are from him, you are sustained by him, and we will return to him. But right now, I am in a spiritual relationship with Jesus. I'm in love with a man. I don't mind saying it. It is a little awkward saying you're the bride of Christ. But it doesn't say there's a bride and a groom. There's just a bride. And, you know, Jesus said that, you know, who will I be married to in heaven if I've had a couple of wives? He says, well, they don't do that in heaven. I think that's because he's a jealous God. You're the bride of Christ. You're not wed to anybody else. You're mine. All right, I just thought I'd throw that in. I thought it was interesting. But anyways, the church, the bride of Christ, presented to Jesus at the end of the book is the purpose of it all. It's really the purpose of it all. We spend so much time in these little earth suits mucking and messing around with so many other things. Well, you know, he's got it all covered. You know, all you really got to do is stay in him. Stay in the spirit. Don't get living out of the dirt, man. Live out of the spirit, man. Constantly live out of that because you were restored to relationship with him. You can live out of the spirit, man, constantly, and you're going to be sustained by him so that you can be presented to him. Look at Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. This sounds a bit like a worship service, doesn't it? Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, his bride, has made herself ready. When will the end come? The bride has made herself ready. He's coming back, not for a one-eyed cyclops. Coming back for a bride. He said, a beautiful bride, a bride without spot or wrinkle, a bride that is washed in him. And that whole thing in Ephesians, I know people teach it about a man and a woman in marriage, and it is there. You can teach that. But then Paul says, what I'm really talking about, the big mystery is, I'm talking about Christ and the church. And that's really what it's all about. And worship is all about your incredible relationship with him, because you were made from him. You were made with incredible capacity to love, and you were made to be in reckless love with him. And worship, quite simply, is a loving response to your loving God. Come on, stand up. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I do want to do this. It's important to do it every service. You know, for you to be in a relationship with him, if you don't know him, if you've never accepted that Jesus died for you, then you're still living just in your earth suit. You're just living in the dirt sack. You know, and who you are, what was framed from the dirt, is sustained by the dirt, and it's going to return to dirt. But you see, there's really a you who came from God, who he wants to make alive again. And he wants to bring that person back to life. He wants to give you life, the Zoe of God. And he wants you to be restored to him so that you can live forever with him, so that today you can be sustained by him. And the whole final package is that you can be presented to Jesus and restored to that beautiful relationship with him. You know, that only happens if you receive him. To those who receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. You just got to receive him. You know, if you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. We're going to pray for you, and just a simple prayer. We'll all do it together. But you pray, and you say, I just publicly say, I accept you. I receive you. And if you've never done that, I want to do that with you today. Listen, I want you to acknowledge that. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And if you want to pray that prayer with me, would you do something? Nobody's looking around. It's just you. It's just you. But you say, I want to be restored to God. I want to be a child of God. Then when I count to three, would you put your hand up really high where I can see it? Really high where I can see it. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Just lift your hand up really, really high so I can see it. Anyone, just lift up your hand really high. Bless you. Is there anyone there? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Just everybody pray with me now. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and identifying with me, for dying for my sin so that I can be restored to my Father. You are the new and living way. And it's through you and through my faith in you that I'm restored to my Heavenly Father. So I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. I receive you in my life in Jesus' name. So I thank you that I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, bless you. If that's something you did for the first time, wow. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. A spiritual interchange took place there. Something powerful. You were born from above as an act of God. You were restored to the family. God himself has engaged something fresh in you. Thank you, thank you. Can I ask those who are going to minister today at the altar to come? I just do want to announce, today is the day that the folks are going to the nursing home too, or the seniors' home. So if you're going with them, that's today as well. But we got folks coming to the altar right now. The reason we do this is because we don't want anybody to leave any service without an opportunity for ministry. And you might have come today and you feel like, I came for something and I didn't get it. I came for this or for that and I didn't get it. But I don't want to leave here in need. You don't have to. There's people ready to minister to you. There's people ready to pray with you. Whatever the situation or circumstance, so many people have had breakthroughs at this altar. People with deaf ears have had deaf ears open. People with needed a word to just transition this week into something, needed a word from God. They got direct, clear words. But people are ready to minister to you at the altar. And we don't want you to miss out on what God wants to do for you. All right? So I'm going to bless you. I'm going to send you on your way. Father, I just thank you for this house. I thank you for your goodness, your grace in each of our lives. And Lord, I thank you for Suzanne and her testimony. I thank you for her exhortation to us all. You know, most people never have an encounter with you without being invited. And may we be an inviting culture. May we be a place, Lord, where it's not like 2%. How awful is that? But may every one of us realize that this is an inviting culture. This is a safe place. This is a place where people can encounter the goodness of you. There's a lot of people out there like Suzanne who are in a place in her life looking for a transition, something meaningful. And somebody invited her into a greater relationship with you. So good. Father, I just loose right now each of us to go. The ministry isn't over. The ministry just begins. And I loose them on their world. I loose them on their oikos. Like Brian and Lorna are going to go minister to that community. Loose us now on our communities to minister your goodness and your grace. So Father, I loose these people in the wonderful love of the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let the power of the Holy Spirit animate us every moment of the day. In Jesus' precious name, amen.